self-analysis. Because as we're we consider our life, our life is actually a journey. It's supposed to be a journey from one place to another. We're supposed to reach a goal, and the destination is to improve ourselves and to attain higher status. Status in terms of our consciousness. So, in order to see that we're improving, we need to analyze how we're doing along the way. So, first aspect of self-analysis is that we need to write things down. In other words, when we're analyzing our situation, we need to write it down. We can't do it all in the head so easily. And the idea is that such statistics and information can be valuable, helpful, especially overcoming depression. When things are going very nicely, the way we like, then we don't see any need to write things down and analyze things because we're busy enjoying the situation. But when things start getting difficult and we become depressed and feeling discouraged, then I'll just read this first sentence here because it kind of gives us an idea. A major factor contributing to feelings of depression is that a person's mind, to the exclusion of everything else, becomes fixated upon a pre-existing circumstance with its already determined time frame and location. By allowing this to happen, the problematic issue is enlarged to enormous proportions until it becomes seen as equal to the whole picture. To the person experiencing depressive feelings, places, persons, and things lying outside the person's constricted purview are seen as irrelevant. The same can be said for the past and the future. Although at times, total and uncompromising absorption in something may be beneficial, during moments of depression, it is better to widen the borders of observation. In order to accomplish this effectively, it is critical to have reliable data available. So we'll, as we go along here, I think you'll see why this is helpful. By writing things down, we gain three things. We improve our time utilization. Two, less forgotten important pieces of information. And three, we're able to plan ahead better. For example, if a trainer, he's training expert athletes. So he keeps records, how fast his student is running. He checks the diet. He sees how much food he ate. He keeps track of these things so he can tell whether his student is improving on particular diet, or they do this all the time, just like this bicycle rider there. He has a coach, and the coach is very carefully monitoring how much he eats and this and that. This is practical. Same thing with an automobiles. They want to see how their tires are lasting, how long, so they do some tests and they keep track. This type of rubber, this type of tread, like that. This is statistics. Data is valuable. Similarly, we're trying to achieve something, therefore we need to keep some data. What type of data we'll be discussing? So, Prabhupada once said to a student, to remember means to remember to write it down. You should always carry a pen and paper. Sometimes we think it's too much trouble to write things down, but then we don't have the information that we need. We shouldn't trust our memories to remember things. It's a practical point. Our memories are quite defective. It's like here we have a reporter with us. So she's writing things down all the time. Why? Because she knows that I may have a good idea or an impression now, but if I don't write it down, it'll be hard to remember later on. Even though she has a good memory, but we can't trust it. So better to write it down, and she has all these memory, all these impressions, all these ideas, she can put it together. I think they teach you that in journalism school, is it not? This is practical. If you want to write, now someone said, I don't need to write things down, I'll just remember everything. They will forget some very important, good ideas they had. Okay. So the first, let's say we're feeling depressed. Sometimes we become a little distraught and feel down. So the first list, we suggest writing out some lists, which will be helpful. At least I found these to be very helpful, and other devotees have and persons have used them, and they also found them to be helpful. Because when we're depressed, that's not very good. Because in that state, we don't produce very much. We're not able to perform our services or our activities. We're impeded by the depression. I feel terrible. I don't even feel like getting out of bed. I don't even feel like doing anything. Maybe I feel like taking some intoxication. So this is a dangerous situation. Sometimes people get so depressed they feel like committing suicide. That's the ultimate depression. I'm so depressed. Well, therefore, we don't want to allow depression to continue. We want to get out of that depression as quickly as possible. Is it not? Okay, we want to get back to a positive, bright state of mind as quickly as we can, without remaining in depression very long. So, first list is the problem list. Because when we're feeling depressed, it seems that it seems like everything is going against us. Everything is wrong. So, we should write down every single problem that we can think of that relates to us. take a piece of paper, number one. Start with the biggest ones, whichever come at you first. Okay, so, and just let your mind think. So what's the first thing? Well, I'm feeling depressed. The first bad thing that comes, I'm feeling depressed. All right, that's number one. I'm depressed. Two, like I made a list here. This list was made on May 7th, 2003 in Kansas City. These are the problems that were facing me at that day. So the first one is that my assistant manager is away. He's somewhere else. Two, I can't connect with him via email because he didn't leave his email address. Three, he has important phone numbers, which I need. Four, one of our congregation members is ill and he's about to pass away. Five, and he's trying to leave his house to the college but that's a big problem. There's some legal difficulties with that. Then the lawyer that's dealing with that, he never phones back. I call him, I leave him messages, he never calls back. Very difficult to communicate with him. Then there, one of our students, there's one visitor, she's making arrangements with one of our students, you know, like the improper arrangements. Then one of our members is having difficulty, one of our staff members. Then the book distribution is down. Our distribution is low. Then there's no visiting professor. We usually, whenever I travel, I arrange to have a visiting professor come to supervise things when I'm not there. But we don't have one for the next trip, and it's getting close. Then the next one is one of our staff members, his behavior is disturbing others. There's complaints about him. Then the temple worship is unstable. Our pujari situation is, we don't have a steady pujari. Then our staff is reduced. 14. Production of the MP3 CDs is set back. There's some problem. The person who's doing it he has to do something else. Or the program is not working. Then we lost contact with Mr. Smith, the congregation man who's getting ill, who's very ill, he has cancer. So we're not able to communicate with him because the family is trying to separate us from him. Then there's a rival religious group that's stirring up opposition. Okay, then number 19, an important donor has relocated. He was giving contributions to the college. Now he's moved to another city. You know, we know the Indians, when they come over to the West, they usually are involved with some computer company, but the company moves them without notice. So now this very nice, we had cultivated him, and they're becoming very Krishna conscious, helping, and now they were relocated. Then the college newsletter is running late. 21, membership is lagging. 22, the travel agent is uncooperative and the tour schedule is unorganized. This is May, so this was the tour for this last year's tour here to Europe. So the travel agent was being just completely unreasonable. Wouldn't cooperate. And it was very difficult because he was the only agent that we could work with for Czech Airlines. He was the main consolidator for this airline. And it was too late to get another airline anyways. Now I'd call him up and he'd say, I don't want to speak with you. And we couldn't work anything out. Then, 23, the mail We usually send out a package to our friends with new books and publications. Well, that was falling behind. It was running very late. Hadn't gone out. Then, warehousing new textbooks slow. Then 25, the writing is going slowly and the tape recorder is not working properly. I was working on this book, Brightside, last year. And at a certain point, I was using the tape recorder to make different interviews. Was someone helping me here then? Doing interviews with me here? No, other places. So, but for that you need a tape recorder, so the tape recorder wasn't working properly. Then, 26, my study and writing is not progressing as desired. Sometimes when you get too many management things, it's difficult to work on your writing and studying. And then, 27, my communications were weak between Kansas City and while I was traveling. Then there was no reply from New York Temple about our band. We have a band, and usually they invite us to come and lead the chanting at the Rath Yatra Festival in New York for this. But this year they hadn't communicated back, and it was getting late, and we needed to know because we had to arrange the vehicle, transportation, the instruments, everything, the members, but they weren't communicating. And some of the plants were withering. That's number 29. But it's just an idea. Now, you can see why I was feeling a little discouraged, depressed. Of course, I'm experienced now doing this, so I knew that it would work out. But if you didn't know, if you weren't experienced, you'd think this is too much. It's just too many things, and there's no way to solve this. But by writing them all down, and after I finished writing this list, there was nothing else on my mind that I could think of that was problems. In other words, we'll get to that later. But this was all the problems that I could think of. Couldn't think of anything else to write down. So what does that do? Well, now they're all in front of me. Now I see what I'm dealing with. Before, it was some kind of ominous dark cloud which I didn't even know. If someone had asked me, what's troubling you? Well, everything's troubling me. Everything's bad. Everything's going against me. But now we see it's not necessarily everything, it's 29 things. So that's a reduction from everything to 29 things. Here they are. Okay. So, now, the items listed above, I'll read here, are not necessarily bad things. It's not necessarily bad, nor are they necessarily problems. However, they are things that must be dealt with. Therefore, they are troubling me, or they are weighing on my mind. Right? These are responsibilities. These are things related to responsibilities that I have, and they're weighing on my mind. They're disturbing. Often such disturbances occur because we have more things to do than we can, than what we think we can do. So you can see, there's a lot of things there to do for one person, one small person, and sometimes we take more things on than we can accomplish. That in itself, when we write all the things down, we see, whoa, that's too many things. Look at all these things I'm trying to do. No wonder I'm in anxiety. Too many things. Just like a computer can multitask, but at a certain point, if one tries to do too many things simultaneously, the computer slows down or may even crash. Right? You've experienced that? Computer people here. If you try to do many things, the computer can do, you know, two things at once, or maybe even three, but then when you try to do something really big, then the whole computer just starts going real slow, and then finally, stop, crash. can't work anymore. So this body is also a computer. Sometimes we can't take on too many tasks. If we try to multitask too much, then it starts going very slow, or it just stops working. Sometimes people have nervous breakdowns. Right? They get so overwhelmed, too many things they can't deal with. So, one of the first things we find out by writing the list, the problem list, is that maybe there's too many things to consider on that list. We may have to just put some of them, as they say, on the back burner. You know, back burner, when you're cooking, when you're just simmering something or keeping it warm, you put it on the back burner at a low flame. You don't have to give it your immediate attention, your stirring, because it's not so hot. Put it on the back and just keep a low flame. So some of these items, I may not be able to deal with all of them. So I have to put some of them, okay, back burner. This one I just leave for a while. Now what does that do? Well, it means it's not in my... I've dealt with it responsibly. I go through my list and I say, this one I'm not going to deal with right now. It's not urgent that I deal with it, so take it off my mind. That's a big advantage. Just like when you close a program. It doesn't mean that it never will be important to you. It doesn't mean you throw it away. It just means that right now, you close the program. You can deal with it later when you need it. You'll bring the program back. So, now someone may say, well, why did you make the list then if you're going to take things off the list? The advantage is, I've made the list consciously, and now I see some things on the list which are not urgent for me to deal with right now. So by putting them off till later, then I'm organizing. Oh, it's nice. I'm cleaning. I'm cleaning my mind out. Cleaning out the computer sometimes when you have too many programs, too many files. It won't work properly. So you have to clean things up. All these things on my list they're real problems, they're real issues, but I don't necessarily have to deal with all of them right now. One thing to learn about problems is that time is an amazing factor that cures a lot of problems. Many problems are cured just by time. Let some time go by, and you'll see that they sort themselves out. Isn't it? At the time, at the moment we're feeling overwhelmed, we don't realize that if we can just give it a little time, a lot of these things will sort themselves out. It's kind of like when you get a cut, or a child. What happens when a child gets a cut? They're bleeding, and it hurts. So what does the mother say? Oh, cleans it up a little bit and maybe puts some Band-Aid on it, spray. Says, but the child says, well, it hurts. Says, don't worry. The mother says, don't worry. It'll heal. The pain will go away. That's true. It's actually true. So that statement, the child takes it. Oh, okay. Well, it's not so I can tolerate. Because I know my mother told me that as time goes by, it will heal. Because imagine if a child gets a cut on the face, they think, well, this cut's going to be on my face forever. Doesn't look good. Ruins my appearance. You know, sometimes, you know, the child, especially the boys, they skateboard and they fall down and they scratch their face like this. You know. So, they're very worried. I'm going to look like this. But no, time will heal it. So similarly, time heals many problems, just letting things go, time. So, now, When we are overwhelmed by something, it is usually accompanied with irrational thoughts such as, oh, I feel terrible, this is horrible, what's going on, why am I in so much anxiety? Well, now, if we've written the list down, at least we know why we're in anxiety. That problem is solved. We've solved the first problem. Why am I in anxiety? Well, look at this list. You'd be in anxiety too. That's a good thing. So we're starting to get some realizations here. Okay. Now, if we had a friend or a counselor, we could discuss these things with them. And of course, it's always nice to do that, right? When you're overwhelmed, if you have a nice, loving friend who cares about you, and you say, do you have a little time? Could you spend a little time with me? And they say, sure. And they say, I'm just overwhelmed. And the friend, what will the friend say? What's troubling you? And you'll start your list. And then if that person's really expert, they'll write them all down, just like we did here. That's what professionals do. Professional counselor or psychiatrist, psychologist. They'll write all the things down that you're telling them that are troubling you. So what we're doing now is we're taking the place of having a counselor when we're feeling depressed. We're doing it ourselves. We're doing both parts. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, I don't know what to do. My bow is slipping from my hand. I'm a warrior. I'm supposed to be fighting right now, but I can't fight. I'm overwhelmed. This was his situation. You can just imagine. He was supposed to fight. He was supposed to begin launching the first arrow, but he couldn't fight because he was thinking, what am I doing here? I shouldn't even be here. I'm fighting against my relatives. This whole thing is ridiculous. But he had problems. Now, luckily, his chariot driver was a very competent counselor. Okay, so the problem list is meant to assess what's going on and then and there. So this is, the problem list has clearly now pointed out why I'm feeling distressed, why I'm overwhelmed. And of course, you have to compile this list before you get too overwhelmed. Because if you get too overwhelmed, you won't even have the energy to make the list. So you have to, when you start seeing yourself getting overwhelmed, that's the time to make the problem list. Don't wait till you're too far gone, as they say. So the list I made before, above, that we heard, was compiled when I was beginning to become overwhelmed. There were many things weighing on my mind which required organizing in order for me to see them clearly and put them into proper perspective. You have to know what's troubling you if you're going to solve the problems. It's like if you went to this friend, going back to the counselor, and you said, oh, I'm having things are terrible. I'm in so much distress. The first thing they'll say is, what's on your mind? What's troubling you? And if you say, oh, I can't even describe it, they won't accept that. A good counselor will say, no, let's begin. What's troubling? Is your health bad? No, my health is okay, or whatever, but you'll have your own list. My boyfriend is, seeing another woman, or my wife is, anyway, we won't go into that, but these are real problems that are facing you. So the question may be that, does this mean I have to carry a pad and paper with me all day long so I can write everything, all my problems down? No. The idea is the problem list is only for when we reach a serious critical point. A buildup of things is really disturbing us. It's not that we have to write all the time. I think, for example, I do this maybe once every few months. It kind of builds up. It may be more for you in the beginning, or maybe less, depending on. Some people are able to deal with problems naturally. they have a natural ability to put things, certain things off and deal with certain things, and it doesn't disturb them. But others maybe don't have such a natural ability. So they may have to deal with this more often. Okay, so now that we've got the, so the question is, now you've got your list of problems and you've decided that you don't have any more problems than this. How are you going to fix the problems? Okay, so it's just an exercise towards the solution. Do you know now, do you know what you would find if you look again at the problems list 5 or 6 days later? You would find that many of those problems have now changed. They've been solved simply by the passage of time. We discussed that. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So one of our biggest problems is we're not tolerant of problems. We have to learn to tolerate that this is what the material world is meant for, problems. We're thinking the material world is meant for me to enjoy every moment, a new, exciting experience of sense gratification, mental gratification, right? We're thinking like that, that everything is meant for my enjoyment. But it's not like that at all. So the first thing we need to understand is this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It's a place for suffering. So that helps a lot. You may say, well, this is making me more distressed. Now I'm feeling even worse. You're telling me that I'm going to have to put up with more suffering? Yes. And that will not make you more distressed. It will make you happier, because the material world is not the only world. That when you have distress or problems in the material world, you should understand that's natural. Everyone has them. Now, how to solve them? The ultimate solution is to go back to the spiritual world where there's no problems. So that's the ultimate solution. But that may not be very satisfying for us to hear when we are full of depression and anxiety. We want to solve these problems now. Okay. But still, there has to be some recognition that problems will always be present, and I have to tolerate the difficulties. Okay. Now, the question comes up, why is it that knowing what your problems are makes you feel better? Because we're starting to get organized. Organization makes us feel better when we're getting things organized. And we're beginning, just like when you go to the doctor, let's say you have some pain. Well, the fact that you've gone to the doctor, already you're feeling a little better because now you're doing something about the problem. You're not just sitting there thinking, I don't know what it is. Now at least you're going to an expert and he's going to analyze it, and then there'll be some forward steps in progress. Okay. Any questions so far about this? That we're progressing. Now, here's a question. What about problems which are not temporary, that are not going away? For example, you have some bumps on your arm and several weeks have gone by and they're still there, despite making several problem lists. In other words, you may have cancer or something like that. That's not something that time is going to heal. So the response is, well, you have to check the situation out a little more thoroughly. You also have to do something about the situation. In other words, once we have problems, we've made the list, that's not the end. That's just the beginning to help us organize how we're going to deal with the problems. Okay? In other words, it's recognized that the situation that we're in requires some action. What we're trying to determine now is what we should do. How we should act so that we can get free. Now we have an inordinate number of things disturbing us. We're not able to function properly. It's like if you're in shipping. If you're on a ship, sometimes they weight down the ship so much that water starts coming in. This happens sometimes. They're going along in the sea and water's starting to come in because they have too much weight. So what do they have to do? Well, they have to throw some things overboard. They have to make a sacrifice. Because if they don't, they're going to sink. So they look through the ship quickly and they decide, well, this thing is not as important. Let's throw it overboard. And then the ship goes up a little bit. So, otherwise, if you don't, you have to ascertain, why is water coming in? Well, we have too much weight. Look how low we are. We're sailing. So now we have to put some things overboard. Ideally, if there was some other boat traveling with you, you could transfer to the other boat so they wouldn't be lost. So you could recoup them later. Now, yes, in other words, we can't hide from problems. Like, let's say that I'm afraid I have cancer. I have some bumps, they're not going away. Well, it's better to know, isn't it? They all say that, the Cancer Society tells you. Better to find out early, because if you find out early, you can still do something about it. If you let it go too long, and then you go in, when it's all fully developed, then the doctors say, I'm sorry, it's too late. There's nothing we can do now. If you had come in 2 years ago, we could have treated it. So, it's not a good idea just to avoid major problems. We have to face them. For example, when a fox is chasing a rabbit, the rabbit's fear is so great that finally he just closes his eyes and thinks, there's no fox, there's no fox, there's no fox. Well, that doesn't mean the fox isn't there. It just means he's not accepting the reality. So there's no use in stopping and thinking there's no fox. Better to keep running. There is a fox, and he's chasing me, and if I run quickly, I might be able to get away. So, now to summarize, the problem list is written. We've gotten that off our chest. You'll feel better as soon as you write the list. You'll see. Just knowing the list is there and there's no other problems that are facing you, you'll feel better. You'll still feel bad, but you can look at the list again and you'll feel better knowing that all the problems are there. And if other problems come up later on within the short trip, you can add them because you're in the mood. So now if you think of a few other things, oh yeah, and there's this other problem too. Okay, write that down. So they're all there. Now, next thing is, why Another relevant issue is that we become discouraged when we think we are not making progress. This is one of the main situations that can lead to discouragement. We think, I'm endlessly working on this and I'm not getting anywhere. So making a longer term or broader assessment will help in dealing with a problem and being rational about it. So, I guess the point here is that we have to try this, we have to be willing to make some effort over a period of time. For example, this idea of using these lists, the self-analysis, say try it for a year and keep track records. What we're doing is now we're starting to keep some track records. We've written the date when this problem list is made. Okay. Now, we haven't gotten to the positive side yet, because right now we're feeling bad. We want to just look at the bad items. This is a psychology. When you're feeling bad, you don't want to think about good things. You want to think about all the bad things. So this is good. Get the bad things out first. Now, the next list we're going to make is the pros and cons list. Now, the cons, the bad things, the problem that we've already made, so that part is done. But at some point, we may, maybe not in the beginning, it would be good to write down the positive things as well. This type of list can be called the pros and cons list. We've already thought of the negative things, the cons. Now, when we write the... So, in other words, we've made the problems list, and we feel a little better. We're starting to get organized. Now, what about the favorable things? Now, the favorable things doesn't mean you write down that it's good that daffodils are growing in Amsterdam. That's not what I mean by all the good things. The good things that are relating to you, to your particular situation. This exercise should reveal that not everything is going wrong in our life. For example, in your problems list, you may have listed several impairments relating to your body. And conversely, the pro side, the positive side, will indicate that other functions of the body, such as your eyesight, breathing, and hearing, are still functioning well. Let's say you've got some bodily... In my list, I didn't have any bodily problems. Well, I could say that. In my positive list, I could say, well, my health is good. That's a big thing. So many people don't have good health. So many people are suffering from so many problems. Well, at least my physical body, in that particular case, was in good shape. So I'm already, that's a big positive thing, something to be thankful about. For example, the comment, someone may say, when someone's really down, it's hard for them to see the upside. They don't want to see the positive side. Yes, we agree with that. But if you can write down the good things, that's a good start, because you'll find that there are quite a few good things that are happening. And you may resist thinking about the good things because you want to concentrate on the bad things as much as possible, but it doesn't hurt to give a little balance and realism to the picture. Seeing the positives as well as the negatives presents a very realistic and mature approach. It's not at all realistic to say that everything is bad. Everything is not bad. Usually when you approach a friend for some advice, he'll say, well, aren't there some good things happening in your life too? If you approach a friend and you tell him, you get everything off your chest, you write... You say all the bad thing. Then the person will say, well, isn't there something good happening in your life? And they say, well, what about your studies at school? How are they going? Yeah, I'm doing okay in my studies. Well, what about your health? Yeah, my health is okay. What about your car? Is that running okay? Yeah, my car's running okay. Well, how about your friends? I noticed you're having problems with some friends, but are there any friends that you're getting along with? Yeah, I'm getting along with most of my friends. Well, are you planning a vacation in the future? Yeah, I've got a vacation time coming up in 3 weeks. Oh, you're looking forward to it? Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So already, the counselor expertly has diverted the mind from all the problems to started getting us to think about some things that are a bit more favorable, like that vacation coming up in 3 weeks. Or like the friends that you are getting along with. Or that your car is running nicely. So now the person starts coming out of the hopelessness. Because part of his problem is that he's not seeing the bright side. He's only seeing the negative. And that's part of the problem. Part of his problem is he looks for the gloomy. That means he's influenced by the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance makes everything dark and gloomy. So we have to learn to get out of ignorance and get into goodness. And that's what this whole exercise is meant to do, is to help us get out of looking at everything in the dark way and start seeing things in a more positive way. A brighter way. Bring some light on the subject. For example, a lot of our problems are just because of ignorance. I'll give you an example. Say there's a man and he's in his basement. Dark basement. And he's on one side of the basement and the door is on the other side. And after he looked for something, then he started to walk out. He wanted to go out of the basement, but it was so dark and he looked on the other side and he saw something shaped like this, you know, hanging. And it was right near the door. And to him, he thought it was a snake, a big snake. And he didn't want to get too close because he was afraid the snake would bite him. But he was trapped. He couldn't get out. Now, he began to think that one of his neighbors may have put the snake there because he was having some problems getting along with the neighbor. So he thought, now the neighbor has put the snake there to kill me. And he was thinking, I can't go out this way, and I can't get out the window because it's too high, and I'm stuck. And he just started getting more and more morose and feeling that he was finished. And he was getting in so much anxiety. He didn't have his cell phone with him. He couldn't get out to the phone upstairs. And he was thinking that his friend probably was outside making sure that no one came in. That no one came into the house. He was thinking, I'm sure my friend is out there, or my neighbor is out there making sure that no one comes until I just die of starvation or until the snake bites me. So he was feeling terrible. He was getting more and more into a trauma. Now, just after several hours of this horrible state, one of his friends came downstairs and turned on the light and said, oh, you're down here. What are you doing down here? And then the man realized that the snake was not, it wasn't a snake, it was a rope. And he said, watch out, there's a snake there. And the friend said, no, it's a rope. And he came up and he looked and, oh, it was a rope. So the whole thing was in his mind. It was due to ignorance. Because he was in a darkened state, he was in so much anxiety about nothing. There was nothing to be in anxiety. It was just a rope. There was no snake at all. And that means that his neighbor hadn't put the snake there because it wasn't a snake. So he was imagining that his neighbor had put the snake there to kill him and that he was going to die of starvation. But the whole thing was wrong. It was an illusion. Now, he would be relieved because some light was thrown on the subject, some knowledge. Therefore, a lot of our problems are simply due to being in darkness, to being in ignorance. Okay. Generally, we get discouraged or depressed. When we do that, it's a time for broadening our vision and seeing the bigger picture. Now, in other words, we're dealing with the issue of getting depressed. So, if someone were coming to me, after we made the list, I would say, how often do you get overwhelmed by this, like this? And they would say, well, I guess every week. It's not every day, it's not every minute. So that's already something positive. It doesn't happen every second. Right? How often do you get overwhelmed like this that you feel so depressed? Well, once every 2 weeks. Well, that's pretty good. That means that it only happens to you 26 times a year. It's better than every day or every hour. So by writing that, now we should keep track. It happens every 2 weeks. So then, what is our goal? Our goal is to try to make it happen once every 3 weeks that we get overwhelmed with depression. We want to make it less often that this happens. If we keep records, then we'll know that, well, this is something that happens regularly. Isn't it? Well, doesn't that make you feel better? If you know that this is something that's been happening regularly, you've gotten over it before, you lived through it, and you'll live through it again. And this is just normal. This is your life. So this is your starting point, that it happens every 2 weeks. And that we're going to try to make progress so that it happens less often. Do you see what I'm saying? Does everyone follow the point I'm trying to make here? That by broadening your vision, instead of just seeing, oh, I've got this problem, I'm overwhelmed. But have you been overwhelmed before? Yes. When was the last time it happened to you? Well, about a month ago. Did you survive? Yes. Well, when did it happen before that? Well, about a month before that. Also, we see there's some kind of a pattern here. About every month or every 2 weeks or whatever it is, you get overwhelmed. It happens. Or a certain number of times a year, you feel depressed. Or I get depressed every time the exams come. When the exams are about to come, I get overwhelmed. Okay, so you know that. So that's something to keep in mind, that it's when exams start to come, there's a good chance you'll get overwhelmed. So you can prepare for it. When we know that this is not the end of the world, that these problems have come before and I've tolerated them, I've survived, and that gives me encouragement that I'll survive this time also. This is experience. Okay. So, now we looked at the problem list, now we made a problem list and a positive list. And the positive list should help even more. The problem list will help us feel better. And the positive list will help even more, because there's things there that are nice to think about. Part of our problem is that the mind is out of control. The mind is refusing to think of anything positive. It only wants to think of the negative. So we have to change the subject with the mind. Right, this is what they do when a person is is having some traumatic trauma. The experts, they say, well, let's think about something else. Let's not think about the thing that puts you into trauma. Because in a sense, we're having a minor trauma. We're traumatized by our circumstances. So we have to change the subject. Let's think about something more positive. Think about that vacation. Where will you be going? Well, I'll be going to the Bahamas. Oh, really? What are the Bahamas like? Oh, there's beaches and it's nice. So it actually helps to think about some enjoyable things, some positive things. That in itself is a kind of therapy. Just getting the mind out of the negative things that you're thinking about. Does anyone have any negative things that are plaguing them now in their life? You do? Like, would you mind sharing with us the most negative?
There's so many.
So many, yeah.
For example, my mother is very sick.
Your mother's very sick. Okay. That's a good one. I mean, it's not a good one, but I mean, it's a good problem to deal with, because it's very serious, and you care about your mother, and she's probably elderly, and it's very difficult to solve problems. As one gets older, when they get sick, it's more dangerous. When a young person gets sick, he's got, you know, good, strong body, but when one gets older, it's more dangerous when they get sick. So, now we might just think about that all the time, that my mother's sick and it's causing me great distress. But if we can, now someone may say, well, you shouldn't, if I change the subject and I think about something else, then I'm not being dutiful. It's my duty to think about my mother's illness all the time. I'm supposed to feel bad about it because she's my mother and I'm supposed to care. But caring doesn't mean that we have to become overwhelmed with ignorance about it. In other words, you care about your mother, but you have to understand also that it's not completely in your control. Are you able to control whether your mother's health is good or bad? You can't control it. So that's the first thing we need to know. Some things are beyond our control. So what is the use in feeling bad about it? Is there any value in lamenting about something that is beyond your control? No. There's no value whatsoever. There's no value in depression and lamentation. This is Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita, that those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Right? You heard that in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is instructing Arjuna, don't lament. Your mother's ill, but isn't that normal? Isn't this world full of disease? Isn't that part of life? Part of material life, that there will be disease? Haven't other elderly people become diseased? Isn't it something that happened? So you shouldn't be surprised. And it shouldn't make you depressed. You should understand, this is part of living in the material world. That one gets old and one gets diseased. Well, that's going to relieve you. Don't you feel better? Knowing that? Remembering? Because you may have forgotten that. You may have become, your mother's illness has just taken such a huge, it's been so, what do they say, making a mountain out of a molehill. Do you know that expression? A molehill is a little bit of dirt that the moles make. And if you make a mountain out of it, you make it into this huge thing. So we do that. We do that sometimes. We make a problem, we exaggerate it so big that we can't see anything else. Just the problems. But actually, getting illness is quite normal in this world. Everyone, it happens to everyone, not just your mother. It happens to everyone's mother. So, and Krishna says that's part of this living in the material world. Your mother's going to have to tolerate that, and you're going to have to tolerate your mother becoming ill. Now, that part you can't do anything about. But you have to do your duty and try the best you can to see the doctor or to take care of it as best you can. So that part you're doing. And once you've done your duty, there's no need to feel anxiety about her illness because it's normal. It's part of life. Okay, so having knowledge or having the proper view, look, as they say, zooming out. See, when we've made the problem so big that we can't see anything else, we need to zoom out. It means take a broader look. You know what, on the computer, when you zoom out, on the maps they have this. If you're looking at a close thing, they say zoom out. So you take a view from further away. And then you see, well, her illness, that's part of life. Everyone has to face that. There's nothing I can do, but it's beyond my control. So now, we've zoomed out, and we're looking at the overall picture from a broader perspective. That's what we've done so far with our problem list and the pros and cons list. Now we're going to make another list. The happy list. So this list is you write down all the things that would make you happy. Now one condition on making the happy list is that it should include all the things which are beneficial and positive, not destructive. You'll see how this works. Let's do an exercise. Now you're full of anxiety and you sit down and you make a list of what would make you feel happy. The first thing that you said was you'd like to get free from this anxiety. Okay, so that's number one. Simply making a happy list, you'll become enlivened about how nice it would be if you could do things on the list. And this will give you a goal to reach. Now, it doesn't just mean happy list doesn't mean things that are frivolous, but things that you really, for example, things that would make you happy, things about yourself that if I had more money or if I was more tolerant, or I was free from anxiety, or I was able to have more time for studying. These things would make me happy. This exercise is that, the question is, what if I just can't think about what makes me happy? I seem to focus only on the issues haunting me right at the time when I'm upset. So the answer is, the exercise is that you put all that aside for a second. Don't be so selfish. Don't be self-indulging. Some people prefer to wallow in their own miseries. Well, we were discussing that already, that we just become habituated to feeling bad, and we like to feel bad and negative. So, there's a story in the Brahmana, in the we have to have faith in that there is a possibility that things can become good and that I can become happy again. This is theism, to believe in God, that ultimately things can be solved, things can be good. A person who doesn't believe in God, then he may become so discouraged that he thinks the only solution is to commit suicide. It's like Sartre and many of these philosophers. They're atheists. So they say there's nothing good. Might as well just commit suicide. And he did. That was his philosophy. But you need to be a theist. You need to believe that there is God and that things can be they're meant to be good, and I'm meant to be happy, and ultimately that's our goal. Okay, so now we're going to, so I did this, I asked the person who was interviewing, I said, so make a list, your happy list, things that you would like to do. So he was a devotee, so he naturally came up with the types of things that you would expect a devotee. He said, I said, okay, what would you like to do? What would make you happy? What would you do if you could be free from your problems? So he said, I guess I could study some transcendental literature that I've been meaning to get around to. So in other words, if he had less problems, he could study the books more, transcendental books. Okay? Devotees. This is how devotees think. Then, and what else would you do? Well, I'd like to sing some devotional songs and play some instruments. Isn't it? Devotees always say, I don't have enough time to study. I'd like to sing some bhajans. Okay. So write that down. So now we've written down, I could study, if I didn't have all these problems, I could study more, I could sing some bhajans, I could maybe practice playing mridanga a little bit. I want to improve my mridanga playing. Alright, so now we're writing down some things that you'd like to do. We've written down all the things that are problems, we've written down all the things that are good, now we're writing down things that I'd like to do if I could. Okay. What else would you like to do? Well, I'd like to help others become free from anxiety. This is what the devotee said. So this is a nice, this shows you how nice devotees think. Okay, what else? Well, I'd like to improve my relationships with others. That would make me happy. If I could have better relationships. Now I'm not getting along with this person and that person. So if I could improve my relationships, that would be nice. And then I wouldn't be so agitated. The reason I get agitated is because my relationships get... Okay? So, yes, you could have good relationships, but this anxiety is ruining your relationships. So another... The happy list is, if you were free from all your problems, if all your anxieties could be solved, what would you like to do? And these are some of the things that the person said he'd like to do. And it's true that good relationships are very important. Learning how to relate with others will help us from getting so many problems. Okay. So then the person said, what else? Yes, sometimes I have a sour mood. Yes. So this is also disturbing your relationship. So you would like to have nice relationships, and maybe it's disturbing your sleep also. Yes. If I could get rid of all these problems, bad relationships, I could rest easier at night. Maybe it's also disturbing your health. And maybe your appetite. There's so many things. So by going through this list, putting down all the things that you would like to do, you get a comprehensive and holistic picture. It gives you some goals that are really exciting. Question. So how is this list going to help me become motivated? It's going to motivate you because now you have realized more than you did before. Everything was muddled because your head was in the fog. You could not see anything clearly. This doesn't mean that things aren't there, only that you can't see them. You're covered by the fog. Knowledge is compared to the sun, which thoroughly dissipates the fog of ignorance. So when you have knowledge of the situation, the fog goes away and you can see things clearly. Okay. So, ultimately, the real solution to all the problems that we're discussing today is to become enlightened. To become spiritually enlightened with transcendental knowledge. Because when we have that knowledge, it's like the sun, and the sun dissipates the fog. And when the fog is dissipated, then you can see everything clearly. But only the sun can do it. So ultimately, if we want to be free from anxieties and depression and problems, we have to become enlightened, spiritually enlightened. Because spiritual enlightenment includes all knowledge. It's not just mental solutions or intellectual solutions, but it's the ultimate solution because it includes all those and more. Okay. Then, okay, now we've got all these lists, and we have to start dealing with that problem list. And as we discussed before, prioritizing is very important. Some things can be relegated to later. Some things need to be dealt with immediately. So you put the list, okay, of these problems, these I'll deal with now and these I'll deal with later. And it's good to put when. What's the latest I can deal with this and still... For example, I may have a problem that isn't really... that I don't have to deal with right now. It may be a bill coming up. But the bill may not be for 2 weeks. So, I may be able to put that off, not think about it for 1 week, and still a week will be enough time to think about it. So by putting that off, it relieves the number of problems that I have to deal with right now. And then I can concentrate on these. So prioritizing is very, very important. And when you go through that problem list, you'll decide which things have to be dealt with immediately. Which things I can put off a little bit. Any questions? Yes?
I said, quote, quote, that's on his life story. And he had also, I think, 27 points. It was basically dealing with his sadhana and things like that. But he was, I think, every day checking out that how I'm doing with all these things. Chanting and eating and going to sleep. And I haven't remembered all the details, but he was...
Yes. Yeah, this is very important. Especially for a person who wants... For example, he's a devotee, so his devotion is based on his sadhana. How is my sadhana doing? How are my relationships doing? How's my chanting? So, yes, it's good to keep evaluating how we're progressing, how we're doing. It's like if someone's having problems, if they come to me and they say, "Well, I'm having some problems," I say, "Well, how's your chanting?" Now, sometimes people don't like to hear that. They say, "Well, why are you asking about chanting?" But that's the first thing that we ask about, because we know that as devotees, our well-being is based on how we're doing these basic things and how we're connecting with Krishna. But of course, this book was written not only for devotees. It was written for devotees and for persons who are not devotees, in such a way that they can solve their problems, improve themselves, even though they're not devotees yet. Of course, we know that ultimately, if they want to make complete improvement, they'll have to become devotees too. But in the beginning, they don't see that. So they can benefit by these hints, these ideas, and hopefully they'll also look at the bigger picture and the ultimate solution, not just the temporary solution. Now, the last point I'm going to discuss here is raising our lows. And what this means is that we all have certain things that, areas that we're strong in and certain areas that we're weak in. The areas we're weak in, we have to be very careful about those. We'll call that our lows. In other words, let's say, for example, that there's a danger in my life. I was an alcoholic before. And there's always the danger that I may go back to becoming an alcoholic. Well, that will ruin everything. Because when one becomes an alcoholic, then the family is ruined, the business is ruined, health is ruined. It's just... So I have to be especially careful to protect that part. More so than everything else. I may... In other words, I may be good at something. Maybe I'm good at painting. Okay. It's nice that you're good at painting, but you have to be especially careful about that alcoholism. Protect yourself from that. Because if that happens, all your painting is lost. Everything. So, in deciding what to do, always consider your lows first. Or, for example, here's a practical thing that happens with devotees. Some devotees, they have a temper. And they have a tendency to get very angry at other devotees. Wow, this is scary. This is very dangerous. Because if they do that, and they get in some fight or argument with a devotee, well, it spoils their spiritual life. They made an offense. And so they have to be especially careful about that danger. Not to allow things to get to the point where they lose their temper. Now, you may say, well, how can you do that? Well, I'll tell you. For example, let's say you've analyzed the situation. What brings you to becoming your temper coming out more? When you overwork or when you oversleep. Huh? If you work too much, and then someone comes in and says something, you get disturbed. Or if you don't chant your rounds carefully, you have a tendency to become angry. So, therefore, protect very carefully. Make sure you don't do those things. It's more. You may say, but if I work hard, then I'll please Krishna and I'll please the Guru more. But will you please the Guru if your temper gets out of control and you harm another devotee? No, then you'll ruin. Then the Guru will be very upset with you. So better do a little less service, but protect yourself from these lows. Do you see what I'm saying? For example, let's say someone's boxing. He's a boxer. And he's in the ring, but he has a broken rib. Now, the other opponent doesn't know he has a broken rib. So what does he do? He's carrying out this boxing match. He protects the rib. Right? He keeps one hand right here because he knows if I get hit in that rib one time, I'm finished. So it means I may not be able to do as many other things that normally I would like to do with my left hand. I could hit him, you know. So I'm on the defense. But I'm defending that rib because if that rib gets hit... Okay. In other words, it's a little bit of a liability. I have this area where I'm weak, my low. So I have to protect it. But it's better to protect it than to try to do too many big things. You understand? Okay. Can you apply that in your life? Where's the area that you're vulnerable? What is the thing that you're most vulnerable about? Vulnerable. Maybe I'm afraid if my danger is that I'm going to go back to the material world. I have a girlfriend. I had a girlfriend 3 years ago and she still writes me letters. Let's say. So, and I'm vulnerable because I think about it and I think I should go back maybe. So be careful about that. Maybe try to do something so you don't keep getting these letters. You may say, well, it's nice to be compassionate and she's advancing a little in Krishna consciousness. And yes, but you have to consider. If that's a vulnerable area for you, then you may have to sacrifice a little your compassion for protecting. Or something else. It's like preaching. Again, we gave that example. Let's say you were an alcoholic before. So you shouldn't go preaching in places where they sell alcohol. You shouldn't do that. Or let's say you used to be a thief. Let's say you were a thief. So you should probably be careful about volunteering to, you know, count the Lakshmi and take it to the bank. You should be a little hesitant. Because you know, well, I was a thief and You know, that tendency, when I see money, I start thinking. And you wouldn't want to do that because it would harm your spiritual life. So be careful about the lows. The things that can destroy. It's like I always tell the husbands, well, not always, but I say, don't joke about taking sannyas with your wife. That joke doesn't go over well. You might, you know, are there any wives here? You know, like if your husband comes home and says, you know, I was thinking about taking sannyas. Well, you wouldn't appreciate that joke. Just like when you go to the airport and they say, what's in here? And you say, oh, a bomb. Oh, they don't appreciate that joke. They immediately, you know, push the alarm. All the security guards come. I was just joking. Well, don't joke, you know, like that. So, in other words, certain things you just want to stay away from. Don't even think about talking about sannyas with your wife. It's not something that will be beneficial. Don't joke about it. Or like a woman, for example. She should not even think about another man. She shouldn't even allow that thought to come into her mind. Because she's supposed to be chaste to her husband. So the most dangerous thing for her is to allow the thought of being with another man to come into her mind. She has to be very protective of that. Because that will ruin her marriage. It will ruin, and that ruins her life. For a chaste woman, this is the most important thing. Sometimes, you know, we become careless with our thinking, careless with our mind. We have to control our mind and protect it from the dangerous thing. What could be more dangerous to a woman than to think of another man? That's the most dangerous thing in her life. So she has to be very careful to prevent. That's why in the Vedic culture, they give so much protection. The whole society is based on protecting the different members from the things that will destroy them or things that will cause them harm. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that one because it's quite an appropriate thing that we all need to be aware of where we're vulnerable and to protect that, to make sure we give extra care to that. Even if it means I can't do as many wonderful things as I would like to do. Or I may have to be, you see my point? For example, I might think if I stay out an extra 6 or 7 hours on Sankirtan, I can do so many more books. But what happens if I stay out 6 or 7 hours? Well then, I may not get enough sleep and I may not finish my rounds and then I may become angry at the other devotees, or I may be driving the car and I fall asleep. So these are things I have to consider, raising my lows. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gauri Nitai ki jai. Jai.